Welcome to the Chadron Berean Church Podcast, where you'll find some of the latest teachings from Chadron Berean Church in Chadron, Nebraska. We are a loving community of believers growing in God's grace in Christ together. The heartbeat of our church is to have deep roots in the Word of God and to bear fruit by passionately applying it to our lives by His power for His glory. And we thank you for joining us.
Learned over the years that my sacred pathway to God of worship, sometimes we call, you know, like we have worship temperaments, and my worship temperament is through nature and creation. That's really how I find myself connecting with God, through nature and creation. I just feel like my relationship with God is so much better in the springtime and the summertime, and I know I'm not alone in that. But I just get out of the office. I need to get outdoors. I need to get out of this, you know, this home. It's, you know, just feel cooped up all winter. I want to get out. I want to hike, and I want to spend time with God and creation. And there's a couple of photos that I took of my time I spent out in creation last week with God. I actually found a cliff on the right side there, and getting back down, I about broke something. I slipped and fell like 20 feet, I kid you not. And my phone landed 10 feet ahead up above my head. But it fell out of my pocket. But it was fun. It was an adventure, right? Just getting back down was more of an adventure. But one of the things that helps me to stay fresh in my relationship with God is to take a path I've never traveled, to break my routine up a bit, to walk somewhere different. Get off the sidewalk, take a new path, take a different route home. Don't drive the same route home. Go to a different grocery store, something like that. Just find a new place, hike a new trail. I'm determined to keep mixing things up and not get bored. You know what I mean? You ever feel that way? You feel bored, you feel stuck, you feel like you're settling or you're coasting, and you're just longing to reinvigorate your relationship with God. Honestly, when I take a new trail like I did last week, I hike a new path, I just find myself thinking about different things because I'm outside of my norm. I'm thinking about different things. I'm praying about different things that I don't normally pray for, like if I was sitting in here or in my office praying during the week. And I've learned that while I'm out hiking or hunting or something like that, I've learned from some old elk hunters that you always want to look around you and be marking your waypoints. Some of you guys know that. As you're walking through the woods, you're in a new trail, a new path, you're looking around and you're marking waypoints by eye, right, or with a GPS so that you can get back to where you came from so that you don't get lost. And so when you're out there in the woods, you're looking around and taking note of either man-made structures or just natural formations. One of the key things is to look back. Some of you guys been to Boy Scouts, Girl Scouts, right? What do they tell you when you're hiking this way? Don't just look in front of you. Every now and then, you turn around and you look back and you see what it looks like going this way, because this is the way you're going home. You know what I'm saying? You want to know what it looks like that way too, because when you get to the end of the trail and you turn around to go back to your vehicle or wherever to the entrance, you need to know what it looks like going that way, or else it'll be unfamiliar to you. Well, life is a lot like that. It's a journey, and it's just as easy to get lost in the wilderness without waypoints, just as it's easy to get lost in the wilderness without waypoints, so it's easy to get lost in life, the wilderness of life, without waypoints. I mean, we can really get turned around or disoriented by the pressures of life, the worries of life, the questions of life, the workload, the emails, taking kids to sporting events, home repairs, church programs, doctor appointments, I mean, you name it, right? That's just the pace of life. And sometimes we're so busy just getting to the next thing, doing the next thing on the list. It's Monday, it's Tuesday, it's Wednesday, it's Thursday, you know? And you forget what you're even doing in the first place. Why am I even here? Why am I doing this? Better yet, how should I be doing this? As a Christ follower. There's a quote I came across this week from I know it's the top of the list of movies to watch, but The Breakfast Club. It's a movie about some high school kids sitting around talking, and one girl says, "Adults have given up." And this doesn't just apply to adults. I know a lot of teenagers like this too. Adults have given up. They're content to go through the motions, work, get their stuff, and they've just lost heart. That was their kids' impression about their parents. They've just lost heart. They've settled. They're content. Maybe that sounds like you tonight. I don't know, you've kind of gotten caught up in the pace of life, paying bills and whatever, and you've forgotten what really matters most and what matters forever. It's easy to do. And that's why we need waypoints in life, on this life journey. We need a waypoint back to the cross. The cross is our waypoint. So is the resurrection. We'll talk about that Sunday. But tonight we're going to focus on the waypoint of the cross and how, by looking back to the cross, we get direction and we get instruction, we get guidance in the here and the now. I mean, the cross, right, we look at it, it's 2,000 years ago, right, in history. But it's not just a historical event. When we look back at that cross, it is so much more than just a historical event in the past. It actually impacts the here and now. And that's what we're talking about this Easter, is what Easter means for you and me, right here and right now. And that's our focus tonight. And the first way that I found that the cross is a waypoint, something to look back on that instructs us now, helps us understand where we're at now in life, is that the cross is a waypoint to life with Jesus. The cross is a waypoint to life with Jesus. All of us are born sinners, right? Separated from God by our sin, but the cross is where we look. It's our waypoint back to God and reconciliation with Him, peace with Him. So for us here and now, the cross means, what does the cross mean for us? It means forgiveness of sin, doesn't it? It means atonement, covering for sin. Jesus covered our sins. It means righteousness. We look back at the cross and we see our redemption. We see peace with God. We, because of the peace of God, peace with God, we can have the peace of God. We look back to the cross and we see our adoption into God's family. All of these things, all of these wonderful heavenly spiritual blessings come through what Jesus Christ did on the cross. And so it has an incredible significance for our lives here and now. Our, you know, even our spiritual state, our health. We look back and we see and we rejoice. It's the waypoint. 1 Corinthians 1:18 says, "For the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God." So, it's folly to some, but to us it's the power of God. Some people wonder why Christians emphasize the cross so much. They think it's weird. And to be honest, it is kind of weird, right? This is the most excruciating ancient form of execution. It's weird. I mean, we're basically hanging an electric chair up on our wall to look at. And we put that torture device on necklaces, right? We get tattoos of this torture device. We hang it up in our churches. We hang it up in our homes. We put it on our bumper stickers. It's everywhere. The cross is everywhere. And it's kind of weird. But while it's foolish to some as believers, we understand it's on that cross. where Jesus died for our sins. He took the curse of sin upon himself, and so that we could be saved, that we could be restored in our relationship with God. We deserved that cross, and Jesus didn't, because he never sinned. But he came and he died for us anyway, so that he could set us free. He could save us from the penalty of our sins, so that we could live with God forever. And the Apostle Paul said, he said this, far be it from me to boast about anything but the cross. I'm not going to boast in my good works. I'm not going to boast in my religious works. I'm not going to boast in anything I've done. I'm just going to boast in what he did for me on that cross, where he paid for my sins in full. That's how significant the cross is. We look to it for life, right? To life. And secondly, we look to the cross for life with Jesus, or it's the way of life with Jesus, if that makes sense. So it's to life, but it's also for life. Like right now, following Jesus, I still need to look to the cross. I look to the cross to be saved, but I'm going to look to the cross to follow Jesus and to be sanctified, they call it. To become more like Jesus. And in two ways we do that. We look to the cross for victory over sin. If you've been with us through our study in Romans recently, we've talked about how for those who have been saved from their sin, they've trusted in Jesus Christ as their Savior, they are now in Christ, as the Bible calls it. And we now have a spiritual union with Jesus in his death and burial and resurrection. A union with him. It says we've been united with him. So basically, we could say that when he died on that cross 2,000 years ago, guess who else died? You died if you're a believer. When he died, we also died. And, you know, that's critical for living for Jesus, because it's through that comprehension of that that we're going to have victory over sin. I mean, so often I'm convinced that our sin is not primarily a behavior problem. It's a belief problem. So we're trying to live for Jesus so often on our own without understanding who we are in Christ. And I think that's where a lot of Christians get tripped up. It's because they think they're trying to live for God, they're trying to do the right thing, trying to do this, trying to do that, and it's all in their own strength, and they don't realize that their power actually comes from their union with Christ. Right? So they're living under legalistic standards quite often, rather than understanding my power to live the Christian life comes from my union with him. And I know that's kind of hard to grasp sometimes, but it's true. So Paul says in Romans 6, he says, "Do you not know?" He just wants you to know something. We have been buried with him, united with him in the likeness of his death. Our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be done away with, so that we would no longer be slaves to sin. For he who has died is freed from sin. So if you're a Christian, someone comes up to you and says, you know, you kind of, I don't know, you make them mad. Maybe it's your brother and sister, and they say, "You're a dead man." You can say, "Why, yes, I am. I died with Christ. When he died, I died." Sometimes in the Old West, they had those wanted signs, dead or alive. Well, if you're a Christian, you are both dead and alive. You're dead to the old you, the old sin nature, the old self, and you're alive now to God in Christ Jesus. You have new life. So you're dead and alive. And so that's part of what the cross means for us today. Again, it's not just a historical event in the past. It's something that is incredibly significant for you in your walk with God here and now. You still look back to it, because when he died, you died. It's so important to remember that. So when you're tempted with sin, you can say with confidence, you know, "I'm dead to that. I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, it's Christ who lives in me. So the second thing is that we look to the cross for victory over difficulties or challenges in life. Hebrews 12:2 speaks about how difficult it was for Jesus to go to that cross. It wasn't easy for him either. Remember his wrestling in the Garden of Gethsemane, the blood that he sweat? It says this, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. So Jesus endured the cross for the joy that was set before him. And I'm convinced that this joy was again, a couple of things. Number one, it was just reconciling us to himself forever so that we could dwell with him forever in a new heaven and a new earth someday. And that we could have a relationship with him here and now. But secondly, it's that we would look to his example. That's what Hebrews 12:2 is talking about. It says, look to Jesus for endurance. He endured. You model him. You follow him because we're going to become like him in our suffering. And suffering has incredible benefits for us, honestly. And I said it last week, but Jesus never promised us an easy life, did he? He never promised us an easy life. He did promise us an easy yoke. And he did say, I'll give you an abundant life, but he never said, I'll give you an easy life. An abundant life means no matter what I go through, no matter the circumstances I'm facing, I can have joy and I can have peace. I can have contentment even when life doesn't seem fair. And we all feel that way at times. But when we suffer in this life, we look back to the cross and we're comforted because who do we see there suffering? Jesus. We see that he can relate to us. He's with us in whatever we're going through. And then being a Christian doesn't free you from difficulties. I just want to point that out. In some ways, being a Christian can actually make life harder because you now enter into a spiritual war that you weren't even aware of before, probably. You enter into a spiritual war. You have three enemies that hate you, the world, the flesh, and the devil. Okay, and the last thing they want is for you to walk with Jesus. There's a movie I watched recently. I know I brought up another one earlier, but it says, if you push the limits are going to push back. If you fight the mold of that this world is trying to stuff you into constantly, the noisy world is trying to force you into its mold. If you fight that, and you go against the grain, you want to break the mold, it's going to fight back too. You're in a spiritual war. And the world is going to push back. The flesh is going to push back. The devil's going to push back. And this is why Jesus said to look to the cross when those moments come. Look to the cross. He said in Matthew 10:38, whoever does not take his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. So we too take up a cross. Whoever does not bear his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Are we his disciples? He told his disciples, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and then forfeits his soul? Or what shall a man give in return for his soul? So think of all the ways the cross applies to your life here and now. We still look to Jesus and the cross for our model on how to live. We too take up a cross. We take up our cross daily. We die daily, Paul said. To ourselves, to to live for Jesus. And I wonder if that just went right over your head. Because it went right over mine. Think about those words. Taking up your cross and following him. Dying daily to yourself to really live for Jesus. That doesn't mean you have to become a pastor. Okay? Doesn't mean you have to become a missionary. I'm convinced that the hardest place to apply that is at home with your family, with your wife and your kids, and they're screaming and you're trying to get out the door to go to Good Friday service. That's when it's hard, isn't it? When you got that coworker at work who's just annoying as can be, and Jesus says, take up your cross and follow me. Love that person. Self-sacrifice for that person that you know hates you, your enemy. You know what I mean? It's in the mundane is where it's hardest. But there's also a point there that we do need to surrender our lives to him. We need to yield our lives to him and say, Lord, what would you have me do? Maybe it is a missionary. Maybe it is a pastor. Never know. But that's between you and God as you walk with him. The crazy thing is, when you surrender your life, you give your life to him, the crazy reality is that you find life. Some people are so bent on like holding on to their life, and they want to do things their way, and they don't want to give their lives to Jesus, and then they never actually find life. He says, if you die and you serve me with your life, you'll find it. Only those who've been there who know what he's talking about. That as we approach the communion table now, let's look back to the cross. It's the way to life and the way of life with Jesus. So some of you may need to come to Jesus for the first time tonight and just say, Lord, I need you to save me. I don't know nothing about following you. I just know I need a Savior, and help me learn how to follow you. But all of us, even us believers, need to examine our hearts. Let's make sure that we're still taking up that cross and following him, that we're not coasting, and that we're still following Jesus.